Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Awimawa, 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 awimawa.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Some flat earthers out there who still consider the existence of a supreme deity to be either necessary or self-evident or both. And with that, as previously announced, I will be turning the podium over to Mr. Wheaton, who will be presenting his case in favor of a supreme celestial dictator, otherwise known as God.
Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with
earthers out there who still consider the existence of a supreme deity to be either necessary or self-evident or both. And with that, as previously announced, I will be turning the podium over to Mr. Wheaton, who will be presenting his case in favor of a supreme celestial dictator, otherwise known as God. Mr. Wheaton, are you ready? Podium is yours.
Atheists say that no one can prove the existence of God, and they're right. But I say no one can disprove that God exists. But the only way to debate this issue is to look at the available evidence, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to put God on trial, with Professor Radisson as the prosecutor, me as the defense attorney, and you as the jury. Most cosmologists now agree that the universe began some 13.7 billion years ago in an event known as the Big Bang. So let's look at theoretical physicist and Nobel Prize winner Steven Weinberg's description of what the Big Bang would have looked like. And since he's an atheist, we can be sure there isn't any believer bias in his description. In the beginning, there was an explosion, and in 3 minutes, 98% of the matter there is or ever will be was produced. We had a universe. For 2,500 years, most scientists agreed with Aristotle on the idea of a steady-state universe, that the universe has always existed with no beginning and no end. But the Bible disagreed. In the 1920s, Belgian astronomer George Lemaître, a theist, who's actually also...
What's a theist?
A theist is someone who believes in the existence of God. He said that the entire universe, jumping into existence in a trillionth of a second, out of nothingness, in an unimaginably intense flash of light, is how he would expect the universe to respond if God were to actually utter the command in Genesis 1:3, "Let there be light." In other words, the origin of the universe unfolded exactly how one would expect after reading Genesis, and for 2,500 years, the Bible had it right, and science had it wrong. All of which points to a God that created it. You see, in the real world, we never see things jumping into existence out of nothingness, but atheists want to make one small exception to this rule, namely the universe and everything in it.
But in his book, The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins says that
if you tell me God created the universe, then I have the right to ask you who created God.
Dawkins' question only makes sense in terms of a God who has been created. It doesn't make sense in terms of an uncreated God, which is the kind of God that Christians believe in. And even leaving God out of the equation, I then have a right to turn Mr. Dawkins' own question back around on him and ask, if the universe created you, but who created the universe? You see, both the theist and the atheist are both burdened with answering the same question of how did things start. What I'm hoping you'll pick up from all this is that you don't have to commit intellectual suicide to believe in a creator behind the creation. And to the extent that you don't allow for God, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find any credible alternative explanation for how things came to be.
Well, I imagine you're quite pleased with yourself. I see you carefully avoided the fact that Stephen Hawking, the world's most famous scientist, and who is not a theist, has recently come out in favor of a self-designing universe.
I haven't avoided it, I just didn't...
You just didn't know about it. All right. Well, let's see what Professor Hawking, the Cajun professor of physics at Cambridge, who occupies a teaching chair once held by Sir Isaac Newton, has to say about the origin of the universe. And I quote, Because there's a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something instead of nothing. It's why the universe exists, why we exist. It is not necessary to invoke God to set the universe in motion. End quote. So you may have never come across his comment, but his point remains. How do you answer?
I don't know.
You don't know. I prick the balloon of your entire argument with a single pin, and you don't know. Huh.
Well, I mean, I'd like to tell you I have the perfect answer, but it doesn't shake my underlying faith.
Okay. So the greatest scientific mind in all of history says that God is not necessary, but a first semester freshman says, oh, yes, he is. Wow. You know, it's going to be a really tough choice. Well, I look forward to next week's lecture. Class is dismissed.
In our last class, I was asked a question that I couldn't answer. As Professor Radisson pointed out, Stephen Hawking is an atheist. He also wrote a book called The Grand Design, in which he says the following. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. And to be honest, I did not refute that. I mean, after all, Hawking is clearly a genius. But Professor John Lennox, who teaches mathematics and philosophy, has demonstrated that there are not one, even two, but three errors of logic contained in that one simple sentence, and it all boils down to circular reasoning. Hawking is basically saying that the universe exists because the universe needed to exist, and because the universe needed to exist, it therefore created itself. It's like this. If I say to you that I can prove that Spam is the best tasting food that's ever existed because in all of history, no food has ever tasted better, you'd probably look at me strange and say, I haven't proven anything, and you'd be right. All I've done is restate my original claim. But when Hawking claims that the universe created itself because it needed to create itself, and then offers that as an explanation as to how and why it was created, we don't immediately recognize that he's doing the same thing. But he is. Prompting Lennox to further comment, nonsense remains nonsense even when spoken by famous scientists, even though the general public assumes they're statements of science.
This is the height of hubris. Are you telling me that you, a freshman, are saying that Stephen Hawking is wrong?
No. What I'm saying is that John Lennox, a professor of mathematics and philosophy, has found Professor Hawking's reasoning to be faulty, and I agree with his logic. But if you can't bear to disagree with Hawking's thinking, then I suggest that you turn to page 5 of his book where he insists philosophy is dead. And if you're so sure of Professor Hawking's infallibility and philosophy really is dead, then, well, there's really no need for this class. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, for the last 150 years, Darwinists have been saying that God is unnecessary to explain man's existence and that evolution replaces God. But evolution only tells you what happens once you have life. So where did that something that's alive come from? Well, Darwin never really addressed it. He assumed maybe some lightning hit a stagnant pool full of the right kind of chemicals. Bingo! A living something. But it's just not that simple. You see, Darwin claimed that the ancestry of all living things came from that one single simple organism, which reproduced and was slowly modified over time into the complex life forms we view today, which is why, after contemplating his own theory, Darwin uttered his famous statement, Natura non facit saltum, meaning, nature does not jump. Well, as noted, author Lee Strobel pointed out that if you can picture the entire 3.8 billion years that scientists have say life has been around as one 24-hour day, in the space of just about 90 seconds, most major animal groups suddenly appear in the forms in which they currently hold, not slowly and steadily, as Darwin predicted, but in evolutionary terms, almost instantly. So, nature does not jump, becomes nature makes a giant leap. So how do theists explain this sudden outburst of new biological information? And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:20. In other words, creation happened because God said it should happen. And even what looked to our eyes to be a blind, unguided process could really be divinely controlled from start to finish.
Evil. That's been said that evil is atheism's most potent weapon against the Christian faith. And it is. After all, the very existence of evil begs the question, if God is all good and God is all powerful, why does he allow evil to exist? The answer at its core is remarkably simple. Free will. God allows evil to exist because of free will. From the Christian standpoint, God tolerates evil in this world on a temporary basis so that one day those who choose to love him freely will dwell with him in heaven, free from the influence of evil, but with their free will intact. In other words, God's intention concerning evil is to one day destroy it.
Well, how convenient. One day, I will get rid of all the evil in the world. But until then, you just have to deal with all the wars and Holocaust, tsunamis, poverty, starvation, and AIDS. Have a nice life. Next, you'll be lecturing us on moral absolutes.
But why not? Professor Radisson, who's clearly an atheist, doesn't believe in moral absolutes. But his course syllabus says he plans to give us an exam during finals weeks. Now, I'm betting that if I manage to get an A in the exam by cheating, he'll suddenly start sounding like a Christian, insisting it's wrong to cheat, that I should have known that. And yet, what basis does he have? If my actions are calculated to help me succeed, then why shouldn't I perform them? For Christians, the fixed point of morality, what constitutes right and wrong, is a straight line that leads directly back to God.
Oh. So you're saying that we need a God to be moral, that a moral atheist is an impossibility.
No, but with no God, there's no real reason to be moral. I mean, there's not even a standard of what moral behavior is. For Christians, lying, cheating, stealing, in my example, stealing a grade I didn't earn are forbidden. It's a form of theft. But if God does not exist, as Dostoevsky famously pointed out, if God does not exist, then everything is permissible.
And not only permissible,
but pointless. If Professor Radisson is right, then all of this, all of our struggle, our debate, whatever we decide here is meaningless. I mean, our lives and ultimately our deaths are no more consequence than that of a goldfish.
Well, this is ridiculous. So after all your talk, you're saying that it all comes down to a choice. Believe or don't believe.
That's right. That's all there is. That's all there's ever been. The only difference between your position and my position is that you take away their choice. You demand that they choose the box marked, I don't believe.
Yes, because I want to free them. Because religion is like a, it's like a mind virus that parents have passed on down to their children. And Christianity is the worst virus of all. It slowly creeps into our lives when we're weak or sick or helpless.
So religion is like a disease?
Yes. Yes, it infects everything. It's the enemy of reason.
Reason? Professor, you left reason a long time ago. What you're teaching here isn't philosophy. It's not even atheism anymore. What you're teaching is anti-theism. It's not enough that you don't believe. You need all of us to not believe with you.
Why don't you admit the truth? You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You have no idea how much I'm going to enjoy failing you.
Yeah, but who are you really looking to fail, Professor? Me or God? Do you hate God?
It's not even a question.
Okay. Why do you hate God?
This is ridiculous.
Why do you hate God? Answer the question. You've seen the science and the arguments. Science supports his existence. You know the truth. So why do you hate him? Why? a very simple question, Professor. Why do you hate God?
Because he took everything away from me. Yes, I hate God. All I have for him is hate.
How can you hate someone if they don't exist?
You've proven nothing.
Maybe not.
They get to choose. Is God dead?
He's not dead.
God's 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 not dead.
Surely alive.
He's living on the inside.
Aziz the Terrible. Always looking to Aziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. You know, in the world that we live in today, with all the chaos and all the continuous negativity and fear and craziness going on, what harm has myself as a Christian done to anyone? I feel like, I'm continuously having to defend my faith to the world out there. You know, I believe in a higher power. I believe that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. You know? So, by me having that light of hope out there and trying to walk the path that Jesus walked years ago, according to my belief, what harm have I done to try to walk that path? Could I ever be like Jesus? No. You know, there was only one perfect man in history, in my opinion. That was the man himself, the Son of God. But to walk that path is what I call true Christianity. You try to walk that path as closely as possible. Am I going to fail? Yeah, of course I'm going to fail. The book says so. You know, there's a lot of things in that book that people don't pay attention to that, it's easy to find negativity in everything. It doesn't matter what it is. There's people of all faiths, of all different backgrounds. I hesitate to use the word religion because it's it's like taboo, you know. You say religion, everybody automatically thinks of some sort of governmental power, some sort of hierarchy that wants to brainwash everyone and so on and so forth. But like I said, in the world that we live in today, what harm does it bring upon any other living soul out there for me to live in my own faith as long as I believe and I choose to believe using my own free will? I choose to walk my own path, my own spiritual journey. You know, if I'm out doing harm to somebody, I can see that would be a reason why to not like me. And so with that said, no harm, no foul, so to speak. What harm would it do for me to be able to live my life in freedom and believe what it is that I choose to believe if it brings me hope and brings me some sort of sanity in a world of chaos? Some folks would like to believe that this was all made out of chaos, that everything is just here, you know. When you die, and that's it, and there's nothing else beyond. I hesitate to believe that there would be any purpose for life if this was just all there is to it, is just everybody running around fighting amongst each other and trying to kill one another and lying and cheating and stealing and robbing and raping and looting and pillaging. You know, the question was asked, why would God allow people to do bad things if God was so good? Why would He allow? And the answer was free will. Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not kill. It didn't have no disclaimer in it, no subsection particle, article B or A or C or whatever in the fine print that said if and or. Just plain and simple said, thou shalt not kill. And even if you're a non-believer, you have to think about those words, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. You know, there. The good rules to live by. So in my opinion, whoever was behind the words that were in the book that we call the Bible, that is my belief stems from the text that there within, and the man that they called Jesus, and the path that he walked, and the things that he said to people, and just the story in general. If somebody wrote that book, whether it be a higher power, they must have had some sort of wisdom to them. They must have seen something or knew something to put such words of wisdom down in text. for people to have sort of a guidebook to life. Because if you kill somebody, somebody's going to want to kill you. If you steal from somebody, somebody's going to want to steal from you. Some folks call it karma. Some folks say what comes around goes around. So on and so forth. We talk about the positive pebble in the pond, and if you throw negativity out there, you get negativity back. Seems to me that that's not related to chaos in any form or fashion. It's pretty organized. You throw negativity out there and you get negativity back, there must be some sort of something there. So I choose to be a Christian with my free will. I choose not to believe certain things. I choose not to do certain things. Am I perfect? By no means, no. No, definitely no. Could never be perfect. None of us could. And in all reality, none of us know the truth of all reality. All we know is what we've been taught and handed down from generation to generation, what our forefathers have said. Some folks worship the creation and ignore the creator, you know? I look at this earth and I say, you know, this is the most beautiful thing that I've ever witnessed in my entire life. It's amazing when you look around you and you see birds flying through the sky and you see flowers growing and trees and everything that is. If you've ever been out in the middle of the ocean and you've seen how blue the water is out there, it's just beautiful. It's incredible. You see the mountains with the snow caps on them, and there's just so much to take in, you know, so much to look at. And at night you can sit underneath a sky full of stars and you can wonder and you can dream, like with all them twinkling lights in the sky and each one of them potentially being a star with planets revolving around them. It's just so amazing. It makes you feel so tiny in the grand scheme of things. So we sit around and we argue back and forth to each other whether there is or isn't a God, or whether there is or isn't a one world conspiracy, whether there is or isn't evil, so on and so forth. Meanwhile, we leave life behind. Because yesterday you can't never get back. You can't, those minutes and those hours and days that you spend around arguing and trying to prove your point to the world, you can't get back. Your children are growing up and you're missing out on all that love and life. I don't think that our Creator would have wanted us to miss out on love and life. In my view, our Creator is love, pure love in the pure sense. Who else would give you such a wonderful gift, such as life and such as the world and the magnificence therein? The earth is 3/4 covered in water. It's a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. It has enough to sustain 10 times the population or more that we currently have, and you still have people out there talking about exponential growth and population control, you know. You still have people out there talking about how we got to depopulate the planet, or how we're so much more powerful than nature that we can actually destroy nature. Do you think any divine creator would put in their children's hand the power to destroy the creation? I don't think so. I look at nature and how powerful nature really is. You mess up with nature and it's going to come back in you. It's going to come back on you with a vengeance. You know, a goldfish in a bowl, if you don't take care of that goldfish in the bowl, then that water becomes so acidic the goldfish can't breathe. It burns the gills and eventually the goldfish will die. So do we pollute our environment? Sure we do. On a local level, we pollute our environment. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, nature cleaned up, even if it means that we are not around after it happens. So there's a lot of responsibility to take care of the world that we live in, because we're supposed to be the caretakers of the world and each other and servants to one another. We're supposed to be good to each other. That, by definition, to me, is love, you know, to love your brothers and sisters around the world, regardless of their differences or their differences in beliefs. There's a reason why they believed what they believe. There's a reason why I believe what I believe. It makes them feel comfortable. It makes them have some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. So don't hate me for being a Christian. I don't subscribe to any religion. I know that sounds crazy, but it's fact. What I believe is in a man that they called Jesus Christ, and I believed in the words that came out of his mouth. I believed in the ultimate sacrifice. Whether it turned out to be just a story, I'd like to try to model my life as closely to that as possible, so that I go out and I do unto others as I would have them do unto me. I would treat my children good, I would treat my family good, I would treat my friends and neighbors good, and I would treat the world good. And I have no want or need to go out and kill anybody or bring harm upon any living soul in the world. My heart is full of love, and I attribute that love to not only my God, but my mother, who raised me to be a loving, caring individual. We've seen the world, we've seen evil, we've seen the darkness that is plaguing the lands. We've seen governments out of control, and crime, and corruption, and just things that you wouldn't do, I wouldn't do. Whether you're an atheist, a non-believer, or a Buddhist, or a Muslim, or anybody of any true faith, and I'm not talking religion, I'm not talking an organization of any kind, I'm talking about a belief in something that is right. I believe in Jesus Christ not because somebody told me or somebody brainwashed me. I believe in Jesus Christ because of those words that were written in that book that I call a Bible. Because of what come out of that man's mouth, his actions, his deeds, and the story. And the ultimate sacrifice at the end. And according to my book, it says that Jesus Christ will return one day. You know, there's some folks out there that said Jesus Christ is a black man. And so is that going to make any difference to me? No, sir. Doesn't matter if Jesus Christ is a black man, a red man, a yellow man, white man. If Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, when he comes back, I will follow him just like I am now. But there's a lot of divide and conquer tactics out there that just seem to try to push everyone away. You know, why sit around and spend your time trying to convince me that my belief is wrong? If you're so firm in your belief and you're so strong to believe what you believe, say what you got to say and go on down the road if you disagree. But there's no need to attack. There's no need to sit there and try to convince me and get angry and frustrated and call me stupid or whatever. There's no need to even make a snide or disrespectful remark and try to degrade my beliefs, as I wouldn't degrade your beliefs. Just because in your mind that you don't believe that there's a higher power, or that Jesus Christ ever existed, or maybe that, you know, like in some of the religious views out there, they say that Christians are pagans. They equate the true Christianity with the Catholic Church. You know, there's so many different denominations in Christianity as the religion that everybody talks about. And my own personal version of what I'm talking about, Christianity, isn't to have anything to do with any kind of organization or any kind of brainwashing. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't a Christian. He was the Christ. And so, to listen to the story and the deeds and the words that came out of his mouth and decide that I'm going to use my free will and follow those footsteps as best to my ability is why I call myself a Christian. not because of some fancy church up on the hill or, you know, some place where you go for a floor show and listen to cool music and make donations and all that kind of stuff. No, because of a man that they called Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, that gave his life on the cross for all humanity. Can I prove the story to be true since I wasn't there? Nobody can, unless they were standing there next to the whole scene while it was occurring. But I choose to live on faith. I choose to be a Christian because of the words in that book. And if that makes me stupid or whatever, you know, it's my life, it's my free will, it's my being, it's my own personal journey. And as long as I'm not encroaching on your life or trying to tell you to believe what I believe, regardless of what you believe, I'm trying to convince you or trying to tell you anything that, you know, you don't want. As long as I'm just living my life as a Christian, then why not let it be? Just like if you choose to be an atheist or an agnostic or whatever, or Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, I'm going to let you be. I'm going to walk my path. And if you're looking from the outside, looking in, and you see that there's anything worthy in my life that you decide you want to adopt on your own with your own free will and maybe join me on my spiritual journey, then that's wonderful. When you ask me what I believe, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, my Lord and Savior. I'm a Christian. And that's the way I choose to live my life. I don't want to curse on the radio show. I don't want to be disrespectful to people. I just want to be good to everyone in the world. I want to share love with the world. That's all I want. And maybe someday, if I'm right, I get to go to this nifty place that everyone calls heaven. And instead of all the aggravations of what we call life, I get to live in a world that I visualize that we as humans could literally create. I believe that we literally have the power within us to bring about heaven on earth. Sounds like a tall order when you think about it, because there's people out there, jihadists, that want to kill you, or terrorists behind every bush, or, you know, read Revelations. It says in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars, plagues and famine and pestilence, so on and so forth. Is that not what we see in the world today? So is it not a tall order to say that I believe that all the humanity was given the power, as said in Genesis, whenever God created man in his own image? I believe that we were literally given the power to bring about heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Now, if that makes me a dreamer and makes me crazy, then I guess I just have to be crazy, because my heart says that it's the right thing to do. Is there a chance I could be wrong? Sure there is, just like there's a chance you could be wrong. You, the atheist who might quote science to tell me why it is that I'm incorrect and the world is older than what the Bible says, you know, says in my book that Satan would be the great deceiver, you know. So maybe things aren't as old as they are. And maybe they are as old as they are. I don't know. I seriously don't know. I don't have enough information before me to determine that. I haven't been so far back in the world to actually watch the Big Bang or the creation. I wasn't there. I always pose the question, you know, in science it takes three things to start a fire. It takes an ignition source, oxygen, and fuel. My question was to all of the atheists and non-believers out there in the world was, who lit the match? And if you light a match and you cause an explosion, which is total chaos, then all these things just somehow magically came about, you know, and it's all, you know, just so precise, like the human body. I mean, it's just amazing. How could that be an accident? How could the world, as we see it, be an accident? It's just so complex. To think that there was no forethought that went into creating the creation. It's just, to me, it sounds just as crazy as it sounds to you whenever I tell you that I believe in a higher power. You can't prove what you can't see, is what they say. Well, since none of us can prove it, I say we live in peace with one another. I say we agree to disagree and go on about our own business and live our lives with free will and choose to not harm anyone. To just try to make this world a better place. I don't think that's too much to ask. So with that said, I'm going to play a quick tune, and I haven't heard from any of the knights this morning, so I'm guessing that I'm going to be riding this one alone. That's alright. The world's a little nutty outside. I woke up this morning, and when the negativity came in, I decided maybe I just might want to crawl back into bed. Maybe I just might want to just go to sleep. I got a big heart and a big dream.
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive? Stop abusing her.
sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind,
Mudman online, Honorable Night Muddy, but he hasn't got his mic working or something. So as soon as he jumps in there, turn that heater off there. It's getting hot up in this place. Anyway, I hope that so far you've enjoyed the show and understand what it is that I'm trying to say to everybody. You know, we were given something really wonderful here, an opportunity to do something profound with our lives, or to give our lives meaning. You know, when you raise your children up, you want to give your children the best of everything. to me, my children give my life meaning. It's a wonderful thing to be a father. And now a grandfather, not once, but three times over. And so if I can make their life better in any way and give them the opportunity to live in a better world, then that's why I do what it is that I do. You know, we have free will, all of us. Each and every individual on this planet has free will, regardless of whether you're a believer or a non-believer. You got a choice to make when you get up in the morning. That's free will. You can choose to either be a bad person or you can choose to be a good person. You can choose to go out and try to commit jihad under your own personal religious beliefs or whatever. Or you can take and show the best of your faith and go out and do something positive for this world as opposed to negative. Nobody has the right to do somebody else wrong. Nobody has the right to steal somebody else's life. And so with that said, each and every one of us being human and having responsibilities such as trying to make this world a better place in some form or fashion, how are we going to get there as long as we're arguing? How are we going to get there as long as you're trying to convince me that you're right and I'm wrong? I'm trying to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm just trying to point out the obvious, the common sense of the whole deal. I'm just trying to share my views. Let's try this again. Hopefully Buddy's got a microphone this time. Hello, brother, are you there? Yeah, but I can hear you barely, so you need to come closer to the mic or turn the volume up. A little bit farther. You still sound like you're down the street. Hi, buddy! Can't find that loud portion there. I'm going to see if I can figure out a way to turn your volume up. Something. You got to come closer somehow, some way.
I switched computers.
Let's try this. Say something.
Audio.
Yeah. I got you louder now.
I can hear that a little bit. Sorry to be right on the show doing tech stuff. I had internet problems all night.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems in the world. Internet problems is one of the aggravations. So, have you been listening in, brother?
All morning.
What do you
all
think?
Morning. In between it going in and out, but it's kind of straightened out pretty much towards the end there, so I figured, yeah, maybe they're done working on the internet.
Yeah.
I missed my show. I was planning on a good one, too.
It's those gremlins, brother. They're trying to get us all. Anyway, so what's your thoughts, man?
My thoughts is great admiration for sticking up for what you believe. That's number one. My wife says, She looked at me and said, you never know what that boy's going to talk about. I said, but at least he believes in what he talks about. And you stand up for it. You know? I said, that's him. She says, yeah. I said, I love him. So, don't tell your wife. But oh, is that what she said? She got a lot of respect for you. Well, I've always had respect for you because I know what you believe in. To give one brain thumper right here, is God real? I wouldn't be walking without God. I wouldn't be walking. I had arthritis so bad. You know what? And I'm almost 53 now, and I don't have arthritis in my legs. I have poor circulation problems. Well, you know, we didn't pray for that. Prayed for the arthritis. I was pretty much crippled there for a little while. I had to go on crutches and all that stuff. Spent a day or two in a wheelchair just because it was easier. But, it was 5 minutes healing in the church. And because of that, I've done other, I went back to doing, you know, hard working jobs, loading engine blocks, Never had a problem out of my leg sets. Never had a problem out of my legs, the joints, or anything. Arthritis just does not play with me anymore.
Well, I'm a true believer in the power of miracle, brother. I've seen it all, you know.
One of my legs was a little shorter. At the same time, it didn't really notice. But my legs are exactly the same length. Exactly. Didn't even ask for that. All I wanted was the pain to go. So, yeah. Do I believe in God? Yeah. Do I believe He's real? Yeah. Do I believe He forgives? Yeah, as much as if you go down a hallway and you hear your kid in the other room along with his friends and he's talking, my daddy's so strong, he picked up the back end of the car and moved it over, and then he walked around to the front and he moved the front end of the car over to mow because he was too lazy to come in and get the keys. Do you get mad because the kid said you were lazy? No, you just, your head's going, and hopefully you can get down the hallway without banging the pictures off the wall with your head. To me, that's the greatest form of praise. And what you did this morning, I'm pretty sure God, his head went.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to point out to the world, you know, we gotta make this world better ourselves, you know. I believe we all have the power to do that. You know, it's just, even if it's on a small scale, on a daily basis, in your own general vicinity, your own neighborhood, you know, nobody's going to feed the homeless man unless you get up and do it. My grandpa used to say that all the time. He said, nothing ever gets done unless you do it yourself, you know. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. So, you know, I just kind of look out there at the world and I see what needs to be done and I try to jump in there and do what I can. You know, does that make me a perfect person? No, I'm way beyond perfect. I'm not even nowhere near that. But what I do feel in my heart is it makes me be and doing the right thing. And to me, I think that's important no matter what your faith is. You know, if you use your faith to harm people, then you have no faith to begin with. You know, I had somebody send me a comment once and said that that they used to be a Christian and they had to lie to themselves to believe, you know. And I was saying to myself, you know, if you had to lie to yourself to believe, you never was a true Christian as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I kind of believe they was, but I do understand a lot. I mean, in the taxi, I learned a lot of what drives people and what bugs them and all that kind of stuff. It's like watching a million versions of the Scrooge and then another a million versions of Snow White and the Three Stooges. And, you know, there's always a twist in the new movie. You know, I've seen about 100 movies or more and 1,000 versions of each, and it all seems to be review after a while. I do know how a person can lose his faith.
Well, I can understand going away from your faith, but not being able to say that I was a Christian, but I had to lie to myself to be one.
It just got to that point. The doubts creeped in. I can't doubt. I have come to a point or two in my life. Was it just me and the power of the mind that healed me? No, I really don't think I was capable enough back then. So, no, I got to look at it. I know God's real. I know He's real. And as a proof to me, I don't think that somebody can write the books of the Bible and count every third letter, every seventh letter, and all that stuff. How do you say what you're going to say and also encrypt and encode other messages like that, that deeply all the way through?
I don't know, but it's pretty amazing to me how...
The other point is, I don't see it. I've read a lot of different books, just out of curiosity, but I don't see one that predicts all the things that are going on now. I especially don't find a book that old that predicts everything that's going on as accurately as now. The Da Vinci Code, as they call it, predicted Hitler. They call it history. But, you know, Hitler, come on, predicted pretty much just everything that's going on. When you look at the beast and it talks about the sea. The sea is a sea of people. We're in the middle of the third beast, almost to the end of it. The beast of the alliances of nations. You look at England or Britain. Okay, here we go. What is their little symbol? We got the eagle, okay? Well, they got the lion, right? It's not a lion.
Bombs into foreign nations and they're killing children. You know, if you take away some child's mom or dad, you know, you just took away their support system, their family. How is that saving children? You know? And so, common sense, whether you're a believer or non-believer, has to fall in there somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to, until the time comes, we got to try to make this world a better place. We're the only ones who can do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. To finish up on my other point, the beast rose up out of the sea.